So how do you say your last name?
Munhoffen.
All right. Today is the 2nd of July. We're at the 2023 reunion, VHPA reunion in San Antonio. I am Mike Law, and the man we're primarily interviewing is
Robert Munhoffen.
Robert J., right?
Right.
Munhoffen. Yeah. Munhoffen.
Yep.
Correct. All right. So there are the microphones right here.
Okay.
And so speak kind of slowly and distinctly into there.
Mm-hmm.
How did you get in the Army in the first place?
I was at the University of South Dakota, and I was not happy with my degree I was working on, and the war was coming on, so I decided I wanted to get in the service. So I went down to the Navy recruiter, and they still have a 2-year program, and by the time I got registered, they had changed it to 4-year. So I marched on down to the Army recruiter. I said, I want to fly. So I said, if you can get me in helicopters, that's what I want to fly. And they signed me up, and away I went to basic training.
Okay, so what date was that? Do you remember?
Let's see. Probably 3 or 4, right in there.
Okay. And so when did you graduate from high school and where?
My memory sucks anymore. Let me think.
It's all right.
It's just not coming. I mean, there's a date there, but right. I can't get it out.
All right, fine. So how much college did you have when you dropped out?
2 years.
2 years of college?
Yeah.
And you were working on a 4-year degree?
Yeah.
All right.
And then I went down the recruiter.
Uh-huh.
And then I went, Navy didn't give me what I wanted, so I went to the Army guy. Okay. I said, I want to fly.
All right.
And they said, we'll sign you up, and you got to go to basic training first and all that, and mm-hmm. That's how it all got started.
Okay, so do you remember when you went on active duty?
I was in Vietnam March 68.
All right, fine. So that's we need to back up quite a bit
I don't know the exact dates of, you know, okay. The training. And
so
everything.
I would assume you get inducted in South Dakota.
Yeah.
Now, where was their induction place? Was it?
It was.
Did you go to Chicago or someplace like that?
No, I was down south. Trying to think of all the bases I went to down there, because I went to different schools. I started out in Texas.
Mm-hmm.
Can't say the name of it. Where I started flying.
Go ahead.
Weatherford.
Yeah, it sounds right.
Well, that's where the flight school is.
Yeah.
But you went to basic training, I would assume, Fort Polk.
Oh, that was in
Fort Polk.
Fort Polk, yeah. Louisiana.
That's where they all did it.
Right.
Now, in your mind's eye, that's where they sent all warrant officer candidates to go to basic training.
Right.
And then they would, once they finished basic training, they would send them then to Walters or whatever.
Yeah, it was for
okay,
Walters,
fine.
Yeah.
So, in your mind's eye, how many people in your basic company were also like you that were going to fly? 2, 5, 10, 100?
Oh, man.
Guess.
I'd say 30 or 40 right in there.
Really?
Yeah.
That's a big number.
Yeah, I'm just guessing.
That's fine. Your guess is infinitely better than mine.
Right.
Okay, fine. So, you go to Walters,
mm-hmm.
and you have that interesting...
Well, I had an interesting thing happen to me at Walters. They asked for some people to stay behind because the next school where the Hueys were being trained, were training in the Hueys, they asked for volunteers to stay back.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I said, I'll stay back for 1 month. So they made a super senior out of me. And so I kind of helped the sergeants and stuff with the guys, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I was walking to the PX one day, and 2 Cobras flew in. And I didn't even know we had Cobras. I didn't even know what they were. So I went running down there as fast as I could go. 2 majors jumped out, and I said, "Sir, sir, what are you flying, sir?" And he, I said, "That's the new Cobra." And I said, "Oh, how do I get into that?" And so he gave me a, wrote it down on a piece of paper. I ran back to the first sergeant. I said, "I want a 1049 for Cobra school." And he said, "You can't do that." And I said, "You can't refuse me a 1049." So he threw it at me. And I filled it out and handed it to him. Well, when we graduated, there's like 400 of us. They picked three guys to go to Cobra school, me and one guy on each side of me. So, and we went off to Savannah, Georgia, to Cobra school.
Okay. Yeah, that's good. And by the way, I interviewed the guy that flew that Cobra into.
Yeah?
Into Walters. He used to go to the PX there all the time. And fly it out of Bell. Helicopter down
right.
In Fort Worth.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so your memory is good.
Yeah, in some ways.
All right. All right. So, who were you? Can you name your best friends in flight school, either in Walters or Rucker, or even in?
Mostly Spanish? In Vietnam, I can remember their names, but flight school. No.
All right.
I'd have to look them
Fine.
Up.
Fine. Yeah. So you didn't have any issues other than that. So you have 1 month. Then 4 months, then the super senior week or month.
Right.
Yeah, so you had half a year at Walters.
Yeah.
All right, fine. And so then you go to Rucker, and you finish that class.
Right.
You didn't get delayed?
No.
No? All right.
Then
you went to
Cobra school after that.
Yeah, right. And that was 3 weeks long?
Yeah, that sounds about right. It wasn't very long. It was just enough to get us oriented in the Cobra.
Yeah, and, right. Well, it had a very high touch control compared,
compared
to
especially a hover.
yeah. Until they moved them. And so this was, let's see, you said you got into Vietnam in March of 68?
Yeah, March, or might have been even a little earlier than that.
All right, fine. So... Did you just took leave after flight school? So you weren't assigned to another unit?
No.
Yeah, right?
Nope, I went directly.
Fine. And so, in your mind's eye, how many people were in your Cobra class?
Three, if I remember. I can see their faces. Yeah, there were three of us that stayed in a beach house. I got that picture. I can't remember their names. I think Newkirk might have been one of them. Can't remember the other one right now.
Okay, fine. But they were just your friends, but the school was bigger than that. The whole class was more than three.
Oh, yeah. I have no idea how big the class was.
30?
It doesn't even ring a bell.
Fine. Don't worry about it.
Yeah.
All right. So you were not married at the time?
No.
All right, fine. So you took some leave.
Mm-hmm.
And so you went back to South Dakota?
Yeah, not very long.
Yeah.
And then I got shipped over.
All right, fine. So where do you land in Vietnam, do you know?
Saigon, of course. That's where the main airport was to bring everybody in on an airliner.
Yeah.
And then I was shipped down to Dong Tam, far south as you can go, around the Mekong.
Yeah.
That was D Troop, 3rd of the 5th Cav.
All right. So you waited a couple of days at the 90th Replacement Battalion until you got sent.
No, the minute I landed, they shipped me right off.
Really?
Yeah, the way I remember it, yeah.
So you don't remember even sleeping there?
No.
At the Repo
Depot? It seemed to me like they just put me in a helicopter and took off with me. They wanted to get some killers going, I guess.
All right, so you get down there, and how does that go?
In the beginning, I didn't like it because it was the old gunships, what would they call that, the B model or whatever it was. I didn't like the way it flew and everything. And I got the first day, we went in to pick up a wounded guy, threw him behind my seat, and I wasn't flying, I was sitting in the other seat. And he took off from this right over some water, and there's a VC laying in the water. And I looked down, and he's aiming right at me. Pulled full automatic on me. I peeled up in the seat, turned sideways, and got as flat as I could, ran it across the bottom of my seat, and hit the guy we just picked up again in the back that was already wounded. So I got lucky that time.
Yeah, no fool.
But that was awful. I can still see that guy looking at me, and I went, holy shit.
Yeah. Yeah, that's pretty traumatic.
Yeah.
That was one of your first days in
Vietnam. That was my big first thrill, let me tell you.
Yeah, right. So how long did you stay?
Stay in that group? Seems to me like it was 2 months before we got the Cobras. It might have been 3 months. So uh-huh. I was flying the C models. These guys were really different, the guys that flew the old gunships and collected ears off guys and stuff like that, which mm-hmm. I wasn't too fond of.
Oh, yeah.
One guy had a wire in his room that's nothing but ears hanging on it.
Oh, yeah.
And then, boy, this guy's gone off the deep end, I didn't, and then when the Cobra guys got there and we all got our Cobras and stuff, we were a little bit more...
Humane, huh?
Yeah, a little more humane. Yeah. May not have looked like that when we were shooting them up with miniguns, but... But we had to learn some new tactics when we were working with the Loaches and stuff like that, uh-huh. trying to keep them from getting killed, because I don't know if I mentioned it, I worked with Ace Gonzalez quite a bit, and he was the wildest Loach pilot I've ever met in my life. Mm-hmm. He was not afraid of anything. Mm-hmm. He would use the rotor blades to push the reeds out of the way to see if they were hiding in there, and I'd say about 50% of the time they were laying there waiting for him, and just would nail him, and his door gunner, I don't know how many door gunners he got wounded. They were hanging out of the end and trying to shoot underneath when they got trapped, and then I had to go in and try to help him out. It was really interesting.
Yeah. So how many hours in your mind did you fly the Charlie model or the B model?
Oh, man.
Did you fly quite a bit?
It just seemed like a real short period of time to me, but I think it was 2 or 3 months. But it was every day going out, mm-hmm. kind of like it was when we got the Cobras. But I think we were a lot more active when the Cobras got there.
Yeah.
And I can't remember if the Loaches were there when the Charlie models were running around. It seems to me like they both came together, but I don't know.
What unit were you in again?
68-69, but it was like
March. What unit?
Oh, D Troop, 3rd of the 5th Cav.
Okay, 3rd of the 5th. All right. Okay, yeah. Fine. And you were based at?
Dong Tam.
Dong Tam.
Mm-hmm.
All right, sweet. So, do you remember being checked out and signed off as an aircraft commander in the Huey? I mean, in the Cobra?
In the Cobra? I flew front seat for Roger Herman, who was a captain. And he was kind of the highest ranking guy that was out there shooting every day. Mm-hmm. I was one of the few guys that could hover a Cobra from the front because I was an old farm boy and I had some muscle in my arms. Most of the guys couldn't hover them in the front seat. Mm-hmm. So Roger Herman, because of his rank, he kept me in the front seat to make sure I got him home in case something happened.
Yeah.
I flew with him until he went back home.
All right.
So I assumed that I was his guardian.
All right, fine. So then you moved to the back seat?
Yeah.
All right. So how long did you fly with Roger?
Oh, it seemed to me like 4 to 5 months, right?
Really?
Yeah.
Long time.
Yeah, maybe four. I'm just kind of...
All right. So but at that point in time when you finally moved to the back seat, you'd been in Vietnam well over a half a year?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
Yep.
All right. Did you have any emergency situations let's talk about Charlie models first.
I got my engine shot out 6 times and had to put it down.
All right, now, Let's go back to the Charlie models, though. Was that when you got they got shot?
Yeah, but it didn't shoot it down. They were just That's my vivid memory of that machine gun looking right at me about 5 feet away when he flew over the top.
Yeah,
it's imprinted in my head pretty well.
Yeah,
I still kind of squeeze back in the chair when I think about it.
And you should.
Especially when it hit the seat and I could feel it.
Yeah.
Yeah, and, you know, he's like this.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
It was a strange feeling.
Yeah, of course. So how many times were you in the aircraft that got shot up in the Charlie models?
Actually shot down. Oh, in the Charlie models? Yeah. That was the only incident that I remember, is the one I just told you in the Charlie models.
So the rest of the time you shot, but you didn't take anything?
Yeah, I mean, we got shot up a lot. That was just a daily thing, but...
And nobody was ever hurt, or you never did a force landing?
Oh, yeah, we got wounded quite a bit. I didn't, but that was the closest I got to wounded. Not the whole war. I mean, I had a incident. One day we were going to Saigon to pick up one of our aircraft that had been rebuilt, and usually they take them to Vung Tau, but this one was there. I don't know why it was there, but we went up to ferry it back home, and I was flying front seat. I can't remember who the guy in the back was, and we were going right out south of Saigon over the Plain of Reeds, and he said, look, somebody's cutting a buffalo up down there. And I said, well, I wonder who that would be. So he started to roll over like this, and I had the minigun. I pulled it around and saw tracers coming, so I hung on to the 40 millimeter, and all of a sudden, cow, boom, one of their bullets hit a 40 millimeter right when it was coming out of the tube. Blew the whole canopy right off the aircraft.
Really?
Yeah, all we had is a frame of where the plexiglass used to be, and I'm hanging on to it so it don't go up in the rotor blades.
Well, you had your seat harness on.
Yeah, but I was hanging on to it, and I said, let's get it to Vung Tau. Out on the ocean there was the closest place we could go. And we made it there, but we got on the ground, and we looked at the aircraft, and bullets were going right all across the bottom here, the same height as my 40. Mm-hmm. So and one of the bullets hit that 40 when it right came out of the tube. And just imploded the whole inside of the aircraft. We were just lucky it got back to the base.
So it literally probably destroyed the turret.
No, it didn't do much of the turret. But I'm sure they had to do work on it. But it really pushed the aircraft in. It made it, the pressure in my eyeballs felt like they came right out of my head from the impact. And I could hardly see, and I had my visor down, thank God, and but I just had little pieces of plexiglass on my face. I never got a Purple Heart out of it.
That's too bad. You should get one.
Yeah.
That
you got to show a scar, though, when you have a Purple Heart.
No, you don't.
You don't? Okay.
No, you just have to have a set of orders, but they're not everybody that can do those. But the dispensaries, they issued the paperwork, and then they were cut by a higher command.
No, I'd have to have a scar.
Yeah, right. Well, anyway, it doesn't matter.
I just have freckles.
Good for you. I just got scars from skin cancer.
I gotta get a rag out. I'm running here in my eyes.
All right, so you were flying a Cobra that day.
Yes.
Yeah, all right, fine.
I was in the front seat that day.
Huh, that's an interesting...
Yeah, we weren't even on a mission.
No.
We were just cruising back to our base.
And, yeah.
And, I mean, talk about weird coincidence, you know.
Yeah, well, war is weird, that's for
sure.
Yeah,
it is.
Did you extend from that tour or just wait till it was over with?
I just waited till it was over with.
Okay, fine. And you stayed in that
that unit.
Detroit the whole year.
Yeah, after I got into it, yeah.
Yeah, and so just every day was the same old story.
Yep, we just went out hunting usually.
How did you fly? How did you fly? The number of loaches and the number of cobras.
Usually two cobras and two loaches went out together. The loaches, yeah. I mean, we stayed down pretty close to them so we could cover them in case they got hit.
Yeah.
But they would be down sweeping through the reeds or trees or whatever was there trying to flush them out. Or if they had a machine gun nest, Ace was always, he loved those machine gun nests. He would just line up on them, open up his minigun and fly right at them as they were shooting. Mm-hmm. And he got lucky. He made it back.
Yeah, right.
I saw him do that three or four times.
So you said you flew low. Did both cobras be low or one up
high? Usually one covered the other. You know, if I went down low, the other one would kind of stay back and make sure he could cover anything shooting, you know, off to the side that I couldn't see right away.
Okay. So, did you fly a loop around the loaches?
Kind of like that. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Because we.
And how many feet off the rice paddies would you fly?
Oh, a couple hundred feet when we were protecting the loaches.
All right. So you were.
Unless we're on a rocket run, because you got to get up a little higher so you can aim a little bit. That was a little trickier.
Mm-hmm.
But if we were just shooting the minigun and the 40. Then we got down low with that.
Did you have good reliability with the weapon systems?
I didn't have too many problems. Once in a while, the minigun would freeze up, but not very often.
And the chunker,
mm-hmm.
That was fine?
The 40 was really good. I really liked the 40.
Yeah.
The one night mission in particular was I was on. They always had somebody on duty in case somebody started mortaring us so they could go up and stop them. Well, I was on that duty that night, and I happened to be with another group down the runway, which I didn't know any of the people, but they assigned one of their Hueys to me. And so we were up looking around, and they get a call that the Lerps were in trouble. There were six of them in a village trapped, and one of them was wounded. And they said, "Can you go get them?" I said, "Sure." So,
now, was the Huey was not part of your...
No, it wasn't part of my unit. Group. No, I didn't even know the guys in the Huey.
Okay, and did you have two guns with you that day?
No.
Just that night
you... me always... and the guy I didn't know.
Okay, so one Huey and one,
right.
One Cobra.
Yeah. Right, so I went down, did a circle around them just to make sure I knew where they were at. You couldn't see much. It was really dark. And I said, you tell me when I pass over you so I know exactly where you're at. So I made two crosses, and I could see a little street between the hooches there. And I said, well, that'd be the best path in, you know. So called up to the Huey, and I said, let's go down and get him. He said, I ain't going down there. I said, the hell you're not. And he said, no, it ain't no way. I said, those assholes are just waiting for us. I said, yeah. You want to leave those guys there in that situation, right? I said, I'm through talking. You want a court-martial, or are you going down with me? I said, because I'm gonna court-martial your ass. He said, well, I'll go down. I said, as long as you go with me. I said, yep, I'll follow you right down. It's getting to me a little bit. So he started down, and I stayed right alongside of him. And he got down, got all the guys loaded, and took off. And I just told my co-pilot up front, I said, just pull the 40 and don't let go. So we just circled him with 40, and he'd fly. As he flew out, I just put him right underneath his ass and everything. And burnt the whole village to the ground.
Well, that'll work.
Yep. Mm. That was an exciting night.
And so you don't remember the the name of the LERP team or the numbers or anything?
No, I don't.
Were they ninth division people or somebody else?
They were some unit that was out of our base, but there were so many of them.
Yeah.
That was kind of the headquarters for the South. So, but we got them out of there.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that was a good deal.
Yeah.
Did you receive an award for that?
No.
No?
No.
All right, fine. So guess how many hours you had in gunships and that tour in Vietnam?
Boy, I really don't know.
Okay, fine.
Yeah.
But you flew a lot.
Oh, yeah. I'd say 3 days on, 1 day off, 3 days on, 1 day off.
Yeah.
Kind of like that.
Kind of like
Not that. Always.
All right, fine. Did anybody in your platoon get seriously hurt?
Yeah, not a lot of them. We were pretty lucky. I mean, they got hurt, but not killed.
Uh-huh.
A lot of them, close as I came was, I had a bullet come from when I was shooting the minigun. A bullet slipped in there, glanced off my helmet, and hit Roger in the breastplate, so neither one of us got hit. But that's as close as I came to getting it, right in the smacker. But, I mean, they come across all the time. I took pictures of the canopy. It's just full of patches. Mm-hmm. I go, how in the hell did they miss me?
Yeah. All right. Did you go on R&R?
Yeah. I'm trying to think of where I went. It was kind of a weird place.
Other than Roger, what was Roger's name again?
Roger Herman.
Herman?
Herman, yeah.
I know Roger Herman, but I don't
He was
know.
A captain.
I don't know if this guy was a captain. But he lived in Colorado for a while.
Yeah, I thought he lived out east when I was,
well,
after
may be
I got back, but that anyway. Could be, he could have moved there.
At any rate,
I haven't talked to him for a long time. So,
anybody else that you can remember in your platoon besides Ace? Well, Ace wasn't in your platoon.
Well, Roger kind of hoarded me because he didn't want anybody else to fly front seat, and he had the authority to keep that going.
Yeah.
So I flew with him the most the time I was over there.
Huh?
But then I can't remember the one kid that flew my front seat after I got up there. I can't think of his name anymore.
But that was a kind of a normal stick. They would put two pilots together in perpetuity.
Yeah, it was mostly up to the guy in the back who he wanted. You know, if you were a new guy or something coming in, they kind of liked to keep the same guy if they knew he was pretty good at flying up front.
Okay. Any other? So. What were your living conditions like on that tour?
It was pretty comfortable, I thought.
You had wooden hooches?
We were in tents first, and then when they built barracks,
uh-huh.
they were nice.
Uh-huh. Yeah, two-story or one-story?
Two-story.
Uh-huh.
Then they had a bunker right outside.
Uh-huh.
I got a funny story about that.
Go ahead.
A mortar round came in the middle of the night and landed right between the two buildings.
Uh-huh.
And my roommate, big guy, he was up above me, and he jumps off, pulls the mattress with him on the floor, about knocked me over as I was coming out of the bed, and then another few came in, they were getting awful close, and he said, let's get to the bunker. So we took off, didn't put our hats on or nothing, just in our underwear. Ran down the stairway, headed for the bunker, and we had a brand new captain. I didn't even know him. He says, get your ass back up there and get your black vest and your helmet on. I said, fuck you. And I went. So he's going to court-martial my ass for doing that. So my major, he kind of liked the way we did stuff for him, and he says, you leave them guys alone. That was the end of it. I did. I just told him to F off. Just went right in the bunker.
So, in your mind's eye, how often did you visit the bunker? Once a month, once every couple of weeks?
Oh, we got mortared probably every 3 days.
Yeah?
Yeah, not directly in our spot, but the base was pretty big.
Uh-huh.
But one time they did a run on the ammo dump, and they got in there. It was during the day, and we were standing. We heard all this noise going on down there. And they threw a satchel in, and it hit one of the big things, and it damn near blew us over on the other side of the base, the implosion.
Yeah, the shockwave.
Yeah, we're standing there looking at it, and all of a sudden,
right. The shockwaves are...
Yeah, I said, man, are they coming in or not? Right. We didn't know whether to go grab our guns or what, but they never got very far. They shot them all.
Mm-hmm.
But that was a big explosion, though.
So that the whole time was at Dong Tam?
Yes.
All right, fine. Okay. So did you wear on your shoulder the flower power?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, fine. So the regular 9th Infantry patch.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You had two tours in Vietnam?
No, just one.
Oh, I thought you were...
I didn't go back, no.
Oh, okay, fine. So...
I went to Germany.
All right. So you leave Vietnam, and do you still have your DD-214?
I think I might, but it's probably in a pile of papers that I haven't seen for... long time.
All right.
I don't think I threw any of that away, but it's...
All right. Would you make an effort to try to find...
You want copies of them?
Well, I would like copies of all your Vietnam...
I can do that.
...documents.
Sure.
All right. I will give you a business card.
Sure.
And we can...
Yeah.
We can
I know I got tons of stuff. I just haven't looked at it for a long time.
Yeah. Well, it's no rush, but
it's
priceless.
And sure.
And as good as he is, he won't be able to help you much.
Oh, he'll make sure I get it done. my wife's my top boss, and he's my second boss.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
That's my job.
He's got to keep me on straight.
How much age difference between you and your brother?
15?
16
years.
Years, yeah.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. So... He was alive when you were in Vietnam, but he was very young.
Yeah.
Right. So.
My sister, let's see, 4 years younger than I am, something like that?
Three or four, yeah.
Yeah, she's been gone quite a while, though.
Okay. So, other than... How many air medals do you remember you got?
43.
Oh, that's a lot for one tour. Congratulations. You flow a lot.
That number really sticks.
Well, good. You should. Did you get a Bronze Star?
Got a Bronze Star. I got 2 Distinguished Flying Crosses.
Uh-huh.
Oh, man. Can't remember the rest of them.
All right. Well, that's good enough. So... Can you describe to me the events for the Distinguished Flying Crosses?
Not really. I thought every day was like that when they give me one.
Sometimes that happened.
I think it's more or less the guy that wrote you up was so glad you were there that, you know, that kind of thing, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of days I did the same thing that I got the medal for. But I didn't get a medal for that day, you know what I mean?
Sure. No, I do know exactly what you mean.
Yeah, I mean...
But a lot of people expect...
When you hang your ass out and you bring it home, you know, you go, wow.
Yes, that's true.
I didn't get it. They didn't get me, I should say.
Yes, that's right. So, other than that, looking down at the guy that stitched the bottom of the helicopter, that was... one of your more poignant experiences in Vietnam?
Well, it was just such a surprise. I didn't, you know, it happened so fast.
Yeah.
It was just the minute I turned the turret, everything happened, boom, there's no canopy, you know, and then it's called survival after that.
Sure.
But 1,000 feet up, and you got to figure out how you're going to get on the ground without dying, you know.
yeah, for sure. I didn't know you could actually lose the canopy, but I bet
you. Oh, there was no plexiglass lid. I don't know how it did that. I mean, I felt it because my eyes have been watering ever since. It just about blew my eyeballs out.
And lost
my hearing in this ear because of it. Mm. Not completely, but might as well be because it's hard for me to understand, you know. They're talking on that side, and this guy's going to get all the noise comes in from there.
Yeah.
So it's, I haven't got my hearing aids because I forgot them at home.
You got problems, boy.
Yeah, I do. I can't remember shit.
You got problems.
CRS.
Jog his memory a little bit.
Yeah. I have to have my wife and him to keep me going. They know what I want to say sometimes, so
Robert,
I can get it out.
What about your mission with Ace when, was it Newkirk that got shot down?
Oh, yeah, that's in the book. That was a bad day. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's one day I should have brought up.
Go ahead.
The very first time Ace flew in the front seat with me, he just got back from Cobra School, which I didn't know that's what he just disappeared for a while. And he chose my ship because, you know, I was his co-pilot for a long time. And he hopped in. He says, "Well," he says, "I'm your front seater today." I said, "Well, okay." So off we go. Well, he's micromanaging the loaches because that's what he did all the time, you know. So that's all he's doing, giving instruction up. Now get out there and do that, you know. And so they're showing off for him, right? And it was kind of it was really a lot of trees, and then there was a big patch of reeds. And Newkirk goes out there, and he says, "I think I saw somebody run through here." So he started pushing the grass away with the rotor blades. Well, they were waiting for him. And just whap! They hit him. I'm trying to think of where they hit him. They hit him in the groin almost. Came up, and I think they got him up here. And he pulls full power, goes straight backwards, almost 100 yards, hits a palm tree and slides down the palm tree. And so I pulled down. I was out of ammo. I told Ace, I said, "We got to go home." And then that's when all this started. I couldn't even shoot around. So I turned the helicopter backwards because we didn't have that much armor from the front. So all our armor is a seat and everything to protect us. So I turned my butt to them. And they were just nailing me. I said, "Get him out of that loach and let's get going."
All right, so you landed?
The other loach, no, the other, I didn't land. I just hovered.
All right.
So they could do their job to get the guys out of the helicopter.
So you're blocking the fire.
I'm trying to block the fire. So they're just filling me full of holes. And I'm sitting there waiting for the engine to quit. And so they got over there and they pulled two guys out of the helicopter and threw them in, and we took off, and I took off, and I'm just smoking like crazy, and they're just waiting for that engine to quit. But I made it all the way to the base. I couldn't believe it. And both the guys in the loaches made it, but they were wounded. We never saw them again. They shipped them home. And
what was the one guy's name?
Ace, you mean?
No.
Oh, Newkirk, I think was his name. I don't remember what his. He wasn't a pilot in the loaches. The gunner was the crew chief.
Oh, okay.
So I didn't know the crew chiefs that well because I didn't work with the loaches.
Right.
So I don't know what his crew chief's name was. But
okay.
It's in the book, but
yeah.
That was one hairy day.
Yeah. So how long did you hover?
Oh. It felt like forever, but it probably was at least 10 minutes.
Yeah.
And all I could hear is plink, 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 plink. And I'm going here waiting for that engine to go poof. Luckily it didn't.
Yeah.
But it was smoking when we got it back.
Oh, yeah.
Did you get another helicopter then and go back?
Yeah, we got another helicopter and went back. Got shot up again, but didn't go down. There must have been a real big nest of them in there.
Huh. Yeah.
Yeah, that was quite a day.
So how did you get to work on that project?
What do you mean by project?
Well, the book that Ace...
Oh, they...
Rex, actually.
Rex just called me up.
Yeah?
He evidently...
Did you know Rex from Vietnam?
Did I know what?
Rex from Vietnam.
No, no. He just called me. Evidently, the other guys told him that I was part of that group that was in there with Ace and stuff. He just gave me a call. He said, would you like to help me write the book? I said, sure. So we corresponded for, oh, God, 3 or 4 months back and forth. And I'd have to put it in writing and send it to him. And I kept copies of all that. But I had to sign a deal that I wouldn't get the money out of the book because he was doing all the work. And I said, that's fine.
Yeah.
And when you guys ran out of ammo, Ace stuck his revolver out the window.
Yeah, oh yeah, forgot that part. Yeah. Ace says, turn the nose a little bit to the right so I can shoot at him. So he pulls the .357 out and opens the canopy and laying over the nose shooting at him with a pistol.
Okay.
Oh, God. That guy was something else.
They probably knew you were out of ammo.
Oh, yeah. That was pretty obvious. Yep. Yeah, I forgot that one. That's the best part. I said, Ace, I don't think that's going to slow him down, but go ahead.
Lucky he didn't make a charge.
Oh, God. I didn't think we were going to make it out of there. I thought that was my last day on Earth right there.
All right. What other experiences do you remember? Did you have good enough maintenance? Did you think?
Yeah, I thought they were pretty good.
In other words, you
didn't have a lot of trouble. You know, the only trouble we had is when we got shot up. You know, usually screwed up the engine or something. You know.
Yeah.
But I went back smoking quite a bit when they hit something on the engine. I know I had to force land 6 times total. Not right in the firing zone where we were at, like the one day with Ace. I was out in the open, but still scary just to be out in the middle of a place you don't know where those little, what do you call them?
Bad guys were, huh?
Yeah, bad guys were. So got a little nervous when I'm sitting on the ground and say, hey, we're over here. Come and get us.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
Now, did you guys fly with 2 Loaches, 2 guns, and a Huey?
No, we didn't have Hueys. 2 Cobras and 2 Loaches.
Okay, that's the way you flew.
That's the way you always went out.
So the lead Cobra was also the Charlie? Command and control?
Not always. The Loach guy, whoever's running the Loaches was in charge of that. But, you know, we cooperated. There was no... I think it was more or less who was the highest ranking in the group, you know, of the planes. But it seemed to me like the Cobras were kind of in charge, but the Loaches kind of went on their own, too. So I don't remember saying, hey, you can't tell me to do that because I'm going to do this. You know, it was none of that. They just did their job, and we just followed them around and protected them. We didn't tell, you know, even if I told them, let's go, they still would finish what they wanted to do. They didn't listen to me.
Yeah. So did you routinely do spot reports to whoever you were working for?
You mean reports on what we did?
Yeah.
I think we did if we got in trouble, but I don't remember doing that.
So...
I'm sure we had to write up reports, yeah. But
well, I was talking about radio calls more than anything else.
If we're in deep shit, we start calling for more help.
But I was talking about, you know. So you would bring out 2 full teams. One would be in the AO. One would be sitting at the refuel point.
No.
Switch.
You mean as far as the team of Loaches and Cobras?
Yeah.
No, we always went out as a team, and we had nothing to do with the other teams. They were out doing their thing.
Okay, so you would have, that air cavalry troop could have more than
we had several of them going out.
At the same time?
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Different places.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, they were, we I think we covered the whole area for south of Saigon. Mm-hmm. We go out to different missions depending on who, what general wanted us to go where. They would say, we want you over there today. They need protection, or they're already in trouble. Go help them. That type of thing.
Mm-hmm. So, okay.
We mostly went to where the shit was happening just because we had to get the ground troops out of trouble. Because they get shot up pretty bad, and they start hollering and say, we need help. And then we had to go out there and mm-hmm. get the medevacs in and stuff and make sure they could get in without getting shot down and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So I'd just fly covers around them when they were on the ground. Just mm-hmm. make a circle so they knew what they were going to get if they opened fire.
Yeah.
And they didn't like us, the PC.
No, I understand that. And the loaches would be as close as they could without getting
yeah, away. I mean, we went out without the loaches. The only time we went with the loaches is when we were on, like, a hunting team trying to find the enemy.
Okay.
We called it a hunter-killer team.
Yeah.
We went out as just cobras sometimes, just, like, to protect the, like I say, the medevac or something like that.
Oh, okay. So you were more of an escort.
Yeah, we were. It varied quite a bit. But most of the time we were out hunting for the enemy.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
But it changed according to whatever our major wanted to do.
Uh-huh. So I was kind of surprised to hear that you would fly multiple teams in reconnaissance mode at the same time.
Yeah.
But you did.
Well, it was never anything just the same way. It was, you know, it all depended on what was going on and mm-hmm. how bad it was. And if it was real bad, we even sent out more cobras. And we'd have two of them circling here and two of them circling over here if it was a big area. And we'd be taking care of a larger area just so they couldn't move in on the troops.
Mm.
It was different tactics all the time.
Okay. No worries.
It was just kind of whatever, you know, once we got used to how Charlie did things, then we kind of, not that we could read their mind, but we kind of knew what they were trying to do, so we tried to cover the ground troops. That was our main goal, is to keep the ground troops from getting killed.
Did you put your own infantry in very often?
My own what?
Each air cav troop had their own infantry. Did you put your own infantry in?
Yeah, we had, what was it? 18, there were 18 doughboys, we called them.
You called them doughboys?
Yeah. All right, we'd put them in, and then we'd sit there and protect them.
Uh-huh. All right, fine.
Didn't do that a lot. I didn't like doing it because I knew all the guys they were putting down there.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of...
So, quickly now, did you quit flying a few weeks after... before you de-roast, or?
I mean, before?
Before you left Vietnam. Did you stop flying, or?
No, I flew right up to the last day.
Uh-huh.
I was on a mission right up to the last day.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And then?
And I went to Germany.
Okay. And flew cobras in Germany?
No.
Yeah?
They didn't even have them, except on the border.
Yeah?
I was guarding the Russians there.
Yeah.
And I called down there, one of my buddies that I flew with over there. I said, what are you doing? And I said, where are the cobras? And he said, yeah, come on down. I said, you get any time off? And he said, no. And I said, don't mention my name then. So I flew a Bell 13 to keep my hours up.
Oh, yeah.
And then they let me out 6 months early unless I re-upped.
Yeah.
They offered me captain in 1 year and all kinds of stuff to keep me in. And I said, not if I don't have to. He said, no, the war's winding down. We don't need you, but we would like to keep you because you're trained. Mm-hmm. And I said, no, I'm done.
Mm-hmm. So when did you leave the Army?
Let's see, 70-something. Don't know the exact date.
Okay.
I was about a year and a half into Germany.
Oh, all right. And so then what did you do?
Went back. My dad started a sheet metal company. He was a sheet metal worker. I did that before I went in the service. Right. And we started our own company out on his farm and built the company up and did that for several years until he retired. And then I went to work for Teshears in Sioux Falls and worked for them until I retired.
Mm. Good for you.
Yeah.
So you didn't go in the guard or anything like that?
No, I was done with all that.
All right. Any other words of wisdom for this conversation?
I would say it was all worth it.
Mm-hmm.
The thrill, because I made it.
Yeah. Didn't get hurt.
Mm-hmm. No, well, maybe up here.
Yeah, right.
But he's always known that.
Good enough.
I've always been a little goofy.
All right, fine. So your homework assignment is, you'd certainly like a copy of all your...
I will. He'll make sure I do it.
All right.
He's my mind, I go from day to day anymore.
Well, thank you very much for...
I hope I did some good for you.
Well, it's your history. Anything else you would like recorded?
No, I can't think of anything right now.
Well, when we get the transcript, then we'll go from there.
Okay, sounds good.
All right, thanks for your time.
You bet.
So, you do go by Bob?
Robert. My wife says Robert because she wants it to be more proper, but you can call me Bob. That's fine.
It's fine with
just
me.
Just don't do it in front of her.
No.
He's also known as Rambo by his friends.
Yeah.